I suck at jujitsu. How do I suck less?
I guess
this
sucks less.
Ladies and gentlemen, the
Bellator
Heavyweight Champion, the leader of
Hey everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to the newest episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. So, we're back. With theme music, and with editing, and with commercial breaks, and the whole nine yards, we are back getting ready to film a new episode. And for me, it's been a little over 3 weeks since I have talked to you guys at all, since I've recorded at all. And man, I'm excited. I wanted to open the show in this intro and just say thank you to everybody who reached out over these last few weeks and just, you know, told us, just sent some support. A lot of people told us that they have been praying for our family. If you guys do not know, we have a new family member. My wife and I just welcomed our first child, our first son, Matthew, into the world. And I'll talk a little bit about that. And this is kind of what this episode is going to be about. As you guys can tell from the title, it is going to be about building back your routine. And we're going to look at whether we're coming back from an injury, whether maybe you moved to a new town, whether you just got married or you just had a baby, you went through a breakup. There are all kinds of other reasons. You had some mental health struggles. There are all kinds of reasons that people fall out of their routine. And the thing about that is it's very hard to come back. And it's especially hard to expect your routine to be exactly the same when you come back from one of these big life changes. And so that's what we're going to focus on in today's episode. And yeah, that's pretty much all I have. Just wanted to make sure in the intro to tell you guys thank you to everyone who reached out. That really meant so much, especially as if any parent knows, those first few weeks, you just do not get any sleep. And you know, while sleep deprived and struggling, so many people reaching out and just being awesome to us was, I just greatly appreciate it. And so without further ado, let's get back into the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. Here is today's episode. All right, guys. So as we dive into today's episode, I want to first just give a little bit of recap of what I'm dealing with right now. I think that I wanted to come back doing this episode because this is something that I am in the middle of. Is my routine is totally disrupted. And how do I get back to it? How do I make sure that I am still getting better as a grappler? And so that is, sometimes I do these episodes where I'm looking back and saying, this is what it was for me when I was a white belt or a blue belt, and this is how I handled it. This time, I'm kind of doing an episode saying, I hope that I can handle this. You know, I hope that this stuff that we talk about in today's episode is actually helpful and actually works out. And so I thought a good place to start would just to be to give a brief recap of the last few weeks of my life. You know, we went in a few weeks ago for a scheduled doctor's visit and had no idea that it was going to be the day that they sent us to the hospital to have the baby. There were actually a few health scares for both my wife and Matthew. Spoiler alert, they are both totally fine and healthy, but it got kind of touchy in this 30-hour labor that my wife was in, and you know, it got very stressful. There was a little bit of a jiu-jitsu lesson in there, a jiu-jitsu competition lesson, as silly as that sounds. My wife and I both competed at the Chicago Open like 2 years ago, maybe 18 months ago. And it was my first time doing middleweight in 6 or 7 years. And it was my wife's first time competing as a blue belt. And there was a lot of stress leading up to it. And something that we kept, kind of a mantra that we kept telling each other was, when the moment comes, we will be ready, but we're not going to stress about that moment. We are just going to stay in the moment that we are currently in. And that was kind of the talk. It's when the moment comes, we'll be ready. And we also kind of started having that talk when it came to labor. When the moment comes, we will be ready. When the moment comes, we will be ready. And we kept saying that to each other. And when labor started, we didn't know that the moment was going to be coming. And it got really scary at times. You know, my stress level, my wife's stress level was astronomical at times. And in all of that, I won't go into too much detail. I'll just kind of keep those things private. But just in that 30-hour period, there was so much touch and go of this is what we're going to do now. This is what we're going to try now. As a man in labor, I can't even explain to you if you've never been in that situation, at least for me, I've never felt more useless in any situation in my life. You know, every time the nurses would come in, every time the doctor would come in, I would stand up hoping that there was something I could help with. And there was nothing. We just had to sit in it and sit in that anxiety. And through the whole thing, my wife stayed tough in it. And we, you know, there were a few times that we would have this conversation of, all right, Emily, we knew this was going to be hard, and it is. Let's keep going. You know, we can keep going. We have 5 more minutes in us. We can keep going. And at the end, it ended up being a beautiful thing. It ended up being a beautiful moment where we got to welcome our son into the world. And just like with, I think with weddings, I always notice this, like people really think a lot about their wedding, and they don't think a lot about being married. And the same thing with labor and having the child. Well, now you're a parent. You have a child. Your life is totally going to change. And that is what we have been dealing with over these last couple weeks. And, you know, for me, this is my first day getting back to any sort of routine. This is my first day getting back to work. And my wife still, you know, she'll have to go through this too. And she's actually transitioning jobs right now. And so it's going to even be more for her. But that is why I wanted to do this episode on getting back and finding a routine maybe that you used to have, or finding even a new routine. And so let me see where I'm at in my notes. I just wanted to start with just that first idea. And the big thing that we are going to base this episode on, you know, when it comes to these life changes and you still progressing as a grappler and progressing physically and progressing mentally with the things that you want to be doing. The big thing with all progression is what? I talk about it all the time. It's doing it consistently. It is being consistent. And so for us, you know, yeah, you can always try to just come back and, you know, okay, I'm going to come back to my normal training routine. I could say that to myself. You know, I was training a ton before I had, before we had Matthew. And since then, I've gotten to train 2 times. And, you know, my focus really wasn't completely there. I've gotten to do no podcasts. I've gotten to do no interviews. In my mind, I thought that I would have time to do some of these things, and I haven't. And so we're just going to kind of look at one of the most important things to getting back to consistency. It's being realistic with yourself. You know, I wanted to get back to training a normal jiu-jitsu schedule for me, but it's just not in the cards right now. There's just not enough time and not enough sleep available for me to get back to some of my favorite training sessions and being able to hit those consistently. And so having like the simple goal of I need to make sure that I train this week is always going to be step one. It doesn't need to be, okay, when I come back, I'm going to be training 5 days a week. You know, I'm going to be training every single day. That, you know, you can have that long-term goal, but you have to let yourself be able to work up to it. For instance, for me, you know, as would typically happen, my body hurts worse now not doing jiu-jitsu, just being stagnant for so long. And if I come back trying too hard, trying to push myself too hard, and I get injured, now my ability to come back, it diminishes. And so just by starting with something realistic, starting with, you know, for me today, my goal was to do noon class and to get in and train noon class. Oh, guess what? The doctor changed our doctor's appointment time for my son's whatever week checkup, and I didn't get to do noon class. And so really, though, my goal was to train. And so I make sure tonight, you know, actually that's why this episode's a little shorter, is because in order to prioritize my training, I am going to have to shorten today's episode. But also, I'm going to have to make sure I get an episode out. I am recording this the day before this episode comes out. And so the same idea applied to jiu-jitsu training is the same idea applied to this episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. Sometimes the training isn't going to be perfect. Sometimes it's not going to be me hitting my hour of repetition that I was wanting to hit and then my hour of live training. Maybe it's going to be me showing up and getting 15 minutes of repetition and that's it, and getting no live training. Maybe it's going to be me showing up and getting on the mat and simply talking to and learning from some of my friends. Maybe, and this is like really common for jiu-jitsu injury, maybe it's simply me showing up and being on the mat. And I think when you allow yourself that, but you understand that the priority for you, especially the priority for getting good at jiu-jitsu, is training, is some type of jiu-jitsu inspiration, some type of repetition, some type of training, then it lets you take that pressure off yourself of training has to be this. Because before I was a dad, training was this on Wednesdays. I got to train twice on Wednesdays. And of course, I'm going to hopefully work back to that. But when you put too much pressure too early on, a lot of times you kind of shoot yourself in the foot. And so setting realistic goals, to me, is the big takeaway for starting back to a routine. You haven't trained in 3 years. Maybe that's why you're listening to this episode. You just completely fell off. You know, I'm only talking about not having trained in, you know, I got like two sessions in, but I also wasn't able to train before. It's been almost 4 weeks since I've really had any type of consistency in my training. And, you know, to a lot of people are like, oh, that's nothing. But to somebody who trains every day, pretty much, it's a lot. You know, it's a huge disruption to my routine. And it's a huge disruption to my consistency. And so whether it's been a month or whether it's been 4 years, the big thing is setting something realistic to come back to. And I hear it so often from people that they come back on their first night back and they sign up, you know, they sign up at the gym again and they go, I'm going to be back 7 days a week. And I'm like, oof, dude, you haven't been back 1 day a week yet. Why don't we just see if you can come back 1 day a week? If you get 3 sessions in, that's awesome. If you get 7 sessions in, that's huge. But why don't we make the goal actually accomplishable? And then if not, that is when people's self-talk seems to get so negative. And that is when you start to play in your mind every other time you've quit jiu-jitsu and every other time you weren't consistent. Well, that's because you put this really tough self-imposed goal. And of course, I think you should be setting goals. But I don't think that the goal should just be, my goal is to train 7 days a week. Your goal is to get better at jiu-jitsu. Your goal is to consistently train jiu-jitsu. Because a month of 7 days a week is nowhere near as valuable as a year of training 2 days a week. It's not even close. Being able to consistently show up, and again, it doesn't have to be always at that time. Having a noon class or having a morning class that you're trying to hit, that if you fail, you can hit the noon class. And if you fail that, you can hit the night class. Being able to be flexible in your schedule, to me, especially when you're dealing with big life changes, this is huge. And so we'll look at kind of next thought on this is, let's make sure I got through all of my current thoughts of setting realistic goals, prioritizing your training, and having a flexible training schedule. I think a big way that people fail on this, and I really felt the benefits of this next point over the last month, over the last especially few weeks once my son was born, is having a great support network. Having a great group of people that actually care about you, that care about your progression, that care about your training. I honestly, at times, was getting overwhelmed from the amount of support that I was getting. Like I said, people were emailing me in response to my Gee Gazette emails and just telling me how they've been praying for me, my wife, and son. And people were emailing me and telling me, you know, just, hey, if, you know, I know we've never met before, but if you guys need something, you know, I'll help you with anything. And that to me, obviously, you know, talking about the emails and stuff of people I don't know, but that to me is huge. And then the amount of students, of coaches that I have on my team that are like, hey, what classes do you need taught? What things do you need handled at the gym? Is there anything I can help with? The amount of people that did that make it so much easier to come back. And the beauty of them too is, you know, I made a kind of a commitment that I would be back to training or I'd be back to teaching today. The amount of people that I know if I skipped today, which I'm not going to do, I'm going to make sure I'm in. But if I did, the amount of people that would reach out and see one, if I'm okay, if there was anything I knew. And then I also have a great support network. I know that I would have guys that would message me and be like, hey, we're sure that you're not just being lazy, right? We're sure that you absolutely couldn't make class tonight, right? Having people like that, having a true support system, not just one person. You know, obviously it's awesome if you do have one person. But if you have a whole crew, if you have three or four guys that are willing to stay on you and make sure that you stay consistent, I see more value in that than any type of self-imposed commitment, self-imposed goal. For example, what I mean by that is if I'm going to come in and expect to come back 7 days a week, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this, and I'm telling everybody I'm going to do this, versus if I'm going to come back and say, hey, guys, I've really been struggling to be consistent. You know I've been struggling to be consistent for years. And so if you see me start to lack in being consistency, if you could just get on me, if you could just reach out a little bit, to me, that is so important. That is what helps people be successful. I told you guys for years I was a personal trainer, and I could not tell you how many clients would have this realization at one point or another, and they would go, you know, I could buy these workouts online, and I could afford to buy a home gym even, but what I pay you for is that somebody is there waiting for me. Somebody is there that actually is counting on me to be there. And if I'm not there, they're going to reach out. You're really looking at that support when it comes to, you know, a big weight loss goal. And jiu-jitsu goals are the same. When you are getting reached out by the coach or by one of the other students, I would say something, little note on this. I wouldn't expect your coach to be your main support system in what we're talking about. And the reason I say that is because for coaches, when you have 100 students, it's very hard to recognize when one of them hasn't been in class because you have 100 students, right? And so I would try to rely, if possible, more on your peers, more on the other blue belts at your gym, the other white belts at your gym. I find that is some of the most important things. But then also, you know, we kind of touched on maybe you moved, maybe you trained, you had to change jiu-jitsu gyms. Maybe there was some situation that happened and you had to leave the school that you have been training in and that you built all your routines in. And so when you're looking for a jiu-jitsu school, having a group of people that actually care that you're there, that is what you should be looking for. I see we had a few, it was kind of crazy. We had a few freak injuries at the gym in like a period of a couple weeks. And the response of my students was crazy to me. The way that they responded in sending me messages going, hey, do you have that guy's number who got hurt today? And I'm like, do you even know his name? They're like, no. What is his name? I need to reach out to him. And like the amount of people that did that made me go, oh, wow. This is a gym that people will stay consistent in because people will keep each other consistent. And then on the other side of that, maybe you don't struggle with routine. Maybe you are great at your routine. To me, what you're great at, a lot of times you could be helping other people with. If you're always there, if you're there every day, you're aware of who's not there. You're able to look at the gym and say, okay, this is the guy that I need to get on. This is the guy that I need to help out. And I think that, you know, that responsibility starts to fall on you. And it's not just as a, oh, this is, you know, this is because you should be a good person and do this. In all honesty, you can do this selfishly too. Because the more consistent training partners you have, the better your room is. And the better your room is, the better you're going to be at jiu-jitsu. We're going to dig a little deeper on that thought of having a good room. It's a little off topic, but I think it'll be good. We're going to look at that in just a second. But let's go ahead and take our a little commercial break. I have something different to tell you guys about. We have not really talked about before. And so I wanted to make sure to throw it in there. Let's go to Josh for a commercial. Hey guys, Josh here. And usually I am on these commercials trying to sell you something, trying to get you to do something for me. But this commercial, I just wanted to kind of give you guys a little bit of a gift. And I think that a lot of I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show listeners don't really realize this. But over the last 4 months, maybe, we've really been developing some consistency on our YouTube channel. And really, the amount of free content that we have been giving away on our YouTube channel, to me, has been gold. This morning, we recorded 13 videos, most of which, if you guys know how I like to teach, are pretty conceptual. Recently, we had a video called The Three Laws of Guard Retention, where we just look at three skills to learn that will make you better at guard retention. It will make people not be able to pass your guard. And since this is a YouTube channel, it is completely free and you can just go to it and subscribe to it. We also post video versions of all of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show episodes. And so that's another big reason to sign up for the YouTube channel. But the YouTube channel is Josh McKinney BJJ, and you guys can subscribe to that. You don't have to subscribe to that. You can just go and watch as much free content as you want. We have been posting 4 or 5 different videos every single week, and we don't really plan on stopping. We've also been posting some more kind of artistic, fun vlogs and things like that. And so producer Bryce has just been kind of crushing it with the YouTube channel. I've been struggling to keep up, but I just wanted to make sure that you guys, as I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show listeners, knew that we are putting out an incredible amount of free content, and you can have access to it if you go to Josh McKinney BJJ on YouTube. Let's get back to the episode. All right, guys, we're back. And now, like I said, I just want to dig a little deeper on that thought of having a great room. When we are looking at trying to get to a really high level of jiu-jitsu, you see people, you know, and I think that all, I wouldn't say all jiu-jitsu schools have had this, but all cities that have a lot of jiu-jitsu schools have experienced this in some form or another, where your best person in your city or one of the top couple people in your city, they move, they leave, and they leave to pursue their jiu-jitsu dream. And they go to Atos, or they go to now New Wave or B-Team, or they go to just one of the bigger name schools. And a lot of times, I think it's thought of that the reason that these bigger name schools, and I'm not saying that this isn't the reason, but I think a lot of people think, oh, they left to go train with the head coach. You know, they left to go learn from the head coach. But something interesting is most of the time the head coach that is the famous head coach of these schools, they don't even really teach the classes. A lot of times they go for the environment. They go for the room. I always talk about different training methods. And there is this training method we talk about. I want to say I talked about it in the Simplifying Jiu-Jitsu ebook. I know I talked about it before in something, but I call it the Atos method. And it is this method of, if you have the best guys in the world, you don't need many other training methods than that. And I go, of course, I'm not saying that they don't have other training methods and they aren't innovative in how they train. But one of the best ways to produce the best guys in the world is to have the best guys in the world. Why is that? It's because a great room produces great jiu-jitsu. And so how do you do this as a random dude from the middle of Illinois, from Southern Illinois, that in a town that nobody's ever heard about? Well, you focus on your room. You make sure that your room is great. And how do you do that? Consistency is going to be huge. And then making sure you help others stay consistent too. I think for me, this skill that I have, one of my best skills, I really think I've gotten from my dad, is this ability to gas people up. This ability to go, hey, you are great at this. And just to encourage people, right? I think my dad's a pastor. I think that might come with being a pastor. But being able to encourage people with whatever gifts they have or with whatever skills they have. And you know, just that little bit in somebody's ear of, hey, this place is better when you're here. And I'm sure that there are people that you think about when we talk about this, when I'm talking about this. Maybe, like I said, maybe you aren't struggling with consistency. Maybe you don't struggle with routine. But I guarantee you, if you are really great at routine and really great at consistency, there are people that pop into your head and you go, man, I really miss Dave. I really wish, you know, Dave was such a fun person to train with. He was such a great training partner. And you don't have to get on Dave and say, Dave, you suck. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you in class? Sometimes that's what Dave needs. But usually letting them know, Dave, we all miss you. We all sit around and just, and like the scene in The Waterboy where they're like, remember when Bobby Boucher, his pants fell down and he ran in for a touchdown with his pants around his ankles? You know, when you do that, you say, we miss you so much. It encourages people and it will help your teammates be more consistent. And like I said, this is selfish. I do this. I encourage people because I want great training partners because it benefits me. It's so much less work mentally for me. I don't have to focus on crazy training method. I don't have to be innovative with my training method when I have phenomenal training partners, especially phenomenal training partners who are motivated. And so I think that's just a little tangent on, I know I'm lost in my notes now. That was just a little tangent on building a support network. You don't always build it as someone who's struggling to find routine. Sometimes you have a great routine and you need to be in charge of building that support network. You need to be in charge of finding the guys that fell off when they got injured, when they moved, when they got a divorce, when whatever happened in their life, and bringing them back to jiu-jitsu. And so to me, that is how you create a great environment in jiu-jitsu, is you make sure to keep the great people around. Now, let's look at, this is kind of, we have a few other closing thoughts, but this is kind of the last point on this idea of coming back, on this idea of rebuilding your routine, is finding the things that keep you mentally engaged. And those things may change. I think that it's so easy to expect that what used to work is going to work. We know this in, you know, if you've done jiu-jitsu for a long time, you will find that certain techniques, they only worked because nobody knew them and nobody knew the situation and nobody knew the other side of the scenario. Just like, you know, a lot of places, I think a great example of it is there was this time where everybody on my team was known for leg locks because it was just something we focused on. We recognized it as, you know, hey, nobody is still training these. This is bizarre that nobody's training this important thing. Everybody's ignoring 50% of the body. And then freaking Danaher goes on the podcast and ruins that for everybody. But then also my guy started to get really good at leg lock defense. And then everybody got so good at leg lock defense that we all kind of just stopped leg locking and started focusing on guard passing. And so that's like, that's normal in jiu-jitsu that things come in waves. You know, it used to be nobody would mount. Nobody wanted to go to mount. And so, you know, just pass the side control. You should always just pass the side control because mount, you just get bridge and rolled off. It's so hard to keep mount until some really good technicians started to get good at mount. And then everybody started to get good at mount. And now what do people say? Side control doesn't work. You shouldn't do side control. It's stupid. And so, you know, we see that in jiu-jitsu technique, but it's just like that in your motivation. The things that used to motivate you may not motivate you anymore. Maybe you were always motivated by being a great competitor. And as life got in the way, competition just stopped being as important to you. And so to me, I think that that means you need new motivation. You need new things that get you excited. Maybe the new thing that gets you excited is just enjoying training. Maybe the new thing that gets you excited is that there are new and younger competitors in your school and you can help them. And you go, okay, well, I don't compete anymore. You know, I just physically, I can't, or time-wise or financially, I can't. But I can help these guys. And you start to find that same joy. I've had so many competitors that when we were coming up, we were young, hungry competitors together. And then they stopped competing as much and they started to get to coach. And seeing them deal with the nerves of one of those adopted white belts, you know, you take a white belt under your wing, seeing them deal with the nerves of like, oh, this guy I've been working with is going to compete this weekend. Oh, I want to be there for him. What should I be doing? How could I help him? And seeing them deal with those same nerves that they used to deal with as a competitor, that is them changing their mentality and saying, okay, this is how I'll keep myself motivated. And so it's so easy to fall into this habit of, this is kind of maybe a little off topic, but I see people look down on master's divisions when they're an adult competitor. And then they go, oh yeah, master's, it's not, you know, it's not as tough as adult. But the thing is, when you're 30, it is. You know, when you're 35, it is. When you're 40, it is. And maybe that's what keeps you motivated, but you're still too proud because when you were 25, you said, no, I'll never do master's divisions. Maybe when you were 25, you were stupid. And so being willing to transition and say, okay, well, this is what interests me now. Maybe you were a sport-only jiu-jitsu person, but now you're finding enjoyment working on self-defense jiu-jitsu and teaching self-defense jiu-jitsu. I think then you go with it. I think that that is why, you know, I always talk about not dealing in so many absolutes in jiu-jitsu. And I think that that is an important thing for us to understand as grapplers, is our opinions and what jiu-jitsu is to us is going to change as we change. As we stay more consistent, we're going to change. We're going to become completely different people. As we have huge life changes, we are going to become completely different people. And so being willing to just go, no, I am going to let this change happen and find the joy that I used to find from competing. I'll find that joy in positional sparring at my gym. I'll find that joy in helping, you know, kids train at my gym. And I think that that is going to be a huge thing, is not being married to what jiu-jitsu used to be for you. And being willing for it to be something different, and being willing for it to just be something that is just a hobby, and maybe you used to be a competitor. And so I think that if you can let those changes happen, to me, I think it's going to be a lot easier for you to be consistent. And again, I'm telling you this as a guy, like, will not lie. There's no way, you know, I've always expected like that I would compete 3 or 4 more years at adult. And man, sleeping an hour each night, I was having these thoughts of maybe I'll just be a master's competitor. I don't think that that's going to happen. I know I still have at least this year at adult for myself, but I don't know, you know, how much longer it's going to be. And trying to avoid being married to this idea that it has to be a certain way or I have to win certain things, I think that that sometimes can rob you of the joy that you get from doing jiu-jitsu. You know, like now maybe my love of jiu-jitsu is just going to be based around avoiding my family. You know, maybe I'm just like, man, I'm so sick of Matthew. I want to leave him at home so I can train jiu-jitsu. Maybe that's going to be, right? Who knows? I'm just joking. I love my son. Chill out. But don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm pretty much done with the routine content. I have a bone to pick with some people. So all the people that said, oh, Josh, you're going to be a great dad. You're going to love it. I deleted you guys off Facebook at like day 8. Anyone who said that to me, I'm like, nah, you're not my friend anymore. You were obviously just messing with me. You were just trying to ruin my jiu-jitsu. And so I am not going to, you know, you're not my friend anymore. You're deleted. And so, yeah, that is kind of all I have for you guys today. A little funny random thought. I'm just joking. Don't be like, oh, Josh regrets being a dad. Oh, no. No, Josh just wishes he could sleep. That's it. But let's go ahead and turn it back over to Josh for one more little bit to give us an outro. And that is the episode. Just want to thank you guys for listening to this one and just happy to be back. I got a lot of cool feedback on the Jiu-Jitsu Is series. I know that there were a lot of episodes for people that they only care about Jiu-Jitsu. They don't care about cooking. They don't care about Dragon Ball Z. They don't care about NFL. And so, you know, maybe they didn't like those episodes as much, but it seemed like the people that did listen to those episodes really loved them because marrying those, you know, two ideas and two hobbies, and just two things that bring us joy, I think can be really fun. And so thank you guys for all of that. Thank you guys for everybody who just reached out during this time of transition for me. And, just wanted to make sure to note, if you are listening to this episode because you are trying to get back into the jiu-jitsu space again, you're trying to find consistency again, do not forget, give yourself a little bit of leeway, set realistic goals, and it's just about showing up at first. Sometimes, you know, I say it's like getting good at jiu-jitsu isn't just about showing up, but sometimes you have to look at showing up as a skill in itself. And sometimes that is what your focus should be. It shouldn't be on any guard. It shouldn't be on any pass. It shouldn't be on anything jiu-jitsu wise. Sometimes your focus should just be to regain that skill, or for the first time, gain that skill of just showing up. And that's where I wanted to leave you guys today. Don't forget, I'll make sure to link the YouTube channel for you guys to check out if you have never checked out our YouTube channel. But that's all I have for you guys today. And I hope that today's episode helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day, guys.